Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you. And, of course, it's Hump Day Wednesday, right before the weekend. So maybe you have some special plans for this weekend, hopefully, and looking forward to it. Today we have a very special guest for you. She's a dynamic guest. And she wrote a new book. It is entitled Modeling Success. And she says, you have the questions and I have the answers. And you will not want to miss what she has to say because she's going to share her career with you. And hopefully you will be able to connect with her if you have the motivation to be in the modeling industry or, in fact, in TV, radio, hosting, writing. Suzanne Von Schock shares her knowledge and insights of modeling and the fashion industry. She's often asked how to break into modeling, and in this particular book, Modeling Success, Suzanne answers frequently asked questions. She presents her formula and her modeling success. She's passionate. She's passionate about the modeling and entertainment industry and generously shares her knowledge through teaching, mentoring, and she's offering the book as a guide to your success. So you will not want to miss this interview with our very special guest. And we will enter into the world of authors and experts in just a moment, but first I wanted to give my condolences to the family of Rush Limbaugh and his wife. Rush Limbaugh died at 70 after a battle with lung cancer. And Barry Stiver wrote, conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh has died at age 70, according to his wife. And, of course, millions and millions of us will miss him. Limbaugh passed away at his home in Palm Beach, Florida. His wife, Catherine Adams Limbaugh, said on his radio show on Wednesday, hours after his death. Limbaugh was diagnosed with lung cancer last year, one of the top leading pre-existing conditions that people die from in the USA. Heart disease is number one. And this will cause him to miss hosting the show, but his memory will live on, and his spirit and all of his comments will live on into the future. This day has been one of the most difficult days in recent memory, she says, because I've known this moment was coming. She stated that on the air. I can't help but feel I'm letting everybody down with this. But the upshot is that I've been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer, Limbaugh added before his death. It prompted former President Donald Trump last February to present Limbaugh with the Presidential Medal of Freedom during the State of the Union address in front of the joint session of Congress, which millions and millions of Americans witnessed. He's the greatest fighter and winner that you will ever meet, Trump said at that time. The media recognized all the Limbaugh that Limbaugh had done for America, Trump added. In December, Limbaugh told listeners that considered himself extremely fortunate and lucky, and he stated at that time that he was so lucky to still be alive, considering his grim diagnosis. He said, "I wasn't expected to make it to October and then to November and then to December," he said. But, you know, Limbaugh was a fighter, as you know from his radio shows. And yet, he said, "Here I am, and today I got some problems, but I'm feeling pretty good," he stated. "God knows how important this program is for me today," he stated prior to his death during those months. Limbaugh was born in 1951 in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. He had a long career in media. He entered the radio in 1971 after leaving college before hosting his own radio show for many years. Limbaugh was a stalwart Trump supporter who often praised the Republican businessman and president. He was also a critic of former President Obama and Joe Biden. Condolences poured in on Wednesday when the news heard of the death. Rush Limbaugh had unrelenting boldness to proclaim the truth, watching his wit, passion, and willingness to hold the media accountable and informed my entire career and formed his entire career. No words, I just got news that Rush Limbaugh had passed away. Thanks, Rush, for all you taught, gave, and were. A hero to many and an icon, a patriot, a revolutionary that saved radio. Heaven again, our loss, radio host Glenn Beck said. So sad to see the death of Rush Limbaugh. He was a conservative radio phenomenon for decades and gave the silent majority a voice, Nigel Farage added. And it goes on and on and on because millions of people loved Rush Limbaugh, and he will definitely be missed by many, many Americans and people around the world. So on that note, let's take a break and let's enter into the exciting world of authors and experts with our very, very special guest. And we will return in just a moment. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to The Rose, Rose Columbo, right here on Columbo Chronicles Live. And we are about to enter into the world of authors and experts with a dynamic guest. And her name is Suzanne Von Schock. And she also has Suzanne Von Schock Productions. Let me tell you a little bit about Suzanne. She has a vast career. Suzanne shares her knowledge and insights of modeling and the fashion industry. She's often asked how to break into modeling, and in her new book, Hot Off the Press, Modeling Success, actually, if you have the questions, she has the answers, and she's going to share that with you in her book and give you some tips during the interview. Suzanne answers frequently asked questions and presents her formula for modeling success. She's passionate about the modeling and entertainment industries and generously shares her knowledge through teaching, mentoring, and now offering modeling success as a guide to your success. In fact, Suzanne has a dedicated career professional in the modeling and entertainment industry for many years. If there is anyone who can answer your questions and has all the answers, it's Suzanne, said Joey Hunter, consultant of the fashion and entertainment industry. And she has many, many credits and a vast career. She's worn many hats in the fashion industry. She's graced the pages of Vogue, Bazaar, L'Official, and Cosmopolitan. So let's get started and let's say hello to our very special guest, Suzanne Von Schock. Hi, Suzanne. How are you today?
Hi, Rose. I'm great. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you because there's so many people out there looking for new careers at any age, but probably especially young people who are looking to be in the entertainment industry or a top model. And you have a lot of experience and success and information for them. And so, Suzanne, why did you want to be a model?
Well, I came from a very small town in Wisconsin called Darlington, Wisconsin. It was a farm town. And, you know, I had a dream. I don't think I'm any different than any other girl, you know, who was young at one time and had a dream. Because I think if you put 100 young girls in a room and you would ask them, what is your dream? If you could have your dream job, what would it be? And they'd say, I want to be a model. I want to be a model. I want to be a model. It's just every young girl's dream to be photographed in magazines. And I wasn't any different, except that I was in a very small town and I didn't really know how to get out of that town and get to New York or Los Angeles to make that happen. But I did find my way. There wasn't anything to help me or to guide me, which is one of the reasons why I wrote this book. The other reason is because COVID happened, and it's something I had always wanted to do, was to compile all the knowledge that I had and put it in one place in a book and to pass it along and share all the information to help others along their way. So that's what I did during COVID, and the book has turned out to be, I'm very proud of the book. It's got a lot of information on how to find your way. You know, if you need to find an agent, there are many ways that I tell you how to do that in my book. You know, it's tools of the trade, Zed card, photos, portfolio, print modeling, all the different kinds of modeling. Health, fitness, fashion week, of course, is something that, you know, all models to be in all across the United States and Europe. There is a chapter in here on Europe, which was one of my big successes and turning points in my career, was going to Europe. So, I've compiled this to help everyone. And for me, I had the dream and I followed my path.
You do have the dream. You did have the dream, and you still have a dream, and that is to help others, and that's wonderful. She actually spent time in Paris walking the runway for the couture collections in Paris and Milan, as well as being photographed for many publications in Paris. In fact, Suzanne's career expanded into the entertainment business and acting, as well as writing and being in the movie Tootsie, which we all know and loved. And her latest is an award-winning short film she wrote, produced, and starred in, The Chains That Bind. So you have quite a vast career, but you also said that you met Hubert Gavinci at a casting in New York, and that changed your life. How did that happen? And how did he change your life?
Such an interesting story, because I was with the Wilhelmina. I actually found my way to New York, you know, from a small community in Wisconsin through a convention, through a modeling convention. And I went to the convention at the Waldorf Astoria, and Wilhelmina was one of the judges. And I actually won the runway competition, and then she started me as a model. She kept saying to me, you know, Suzanne, you really need to go to Europe to get your book together. And I had every excuse in the world. Oh, I don't know the language. I've never traveled that far. You know, I guess I was afraid to take that step. So what happened while she was in the process of trying to set things up for me and find an agent in Europe, Monsieur Givenchy had an interview in New York, and he wanted to choose not too many girls, but a smattering of girls, American girls, that he wanted to put in his show for the Prêt-à-Porter and for also for the couture collections in Paris. So I was told by Wilhelmina, you know, she said, you need to go to this, but, you know, put it together. Look like you walked right out of a magazine. So I did. I must have prepared 5 or 6 hours before I went to that audition, and I did my hair, my makeup, everything was perfect. And I walked in, and there were like 150 girls there. Now, the Europeans do their auditions totally different than we do in America. In America, you have a casting, and you go and you stand in line, and the client will look at your portfolio and watch you walk, and they'll take you one by one. In Paris and in Milan, they just don't have time for that nonsense. What they do is, you know, especially Givenchy, it's all about, he didn't even have me walk, or any of us walk. It's about your look, and it's about the inspiration. So he looked over, he was a very tall man, maybe 6'4". He came out, he looked over the sea of models, like 150 of us, and he started to point, you, stay. The rest of you go. Well, I pointed to myself, and I said, I wasn't sure he pointed at me. I thought he did, but I wasn't sure. So I pointed at myself, and I said, did you mean me? Now, these were the first French words I ever learned. And he said, oui. And I went, wow. So when the room cleared, there were only 6 of us that had been chosen. And that was, we were really handpicked. And in those days, the blonde, blue-eyed, green-eyed girl was really popular. Even the redheads were really, really popular. And very few black girls worked. But, you know, Monsieur Givenchy, he was the very first to have 5 black girls in his cabine, which would have been, the cabine is, it's like a showroom where the girls, it's a steady job, they're there every day, and when he feels so inspired, he has one or two of the girls come up and he starts draping fabrics and using muslins and creating the collection. But he was the very first to acknowledge the black girls in the industry, of whom I am all still friends, we're all still friends. I happened to be the one girl, the one white girl that he loved. And I opened the show and I closed the show. I walked with a standard poodle down the runway. And the experience of working with him and having him drape fabrics and stand for hours. And he would ask you, how do you think the pockets? Do you think they should be on the sides? They should be in the front? You got to help him design. So it was a wonderful experience, and quite honestly, all I had to do was walk in his show in Paris, and my career was made. All of a sudden, the agent's phone was ringing off the hook, and I was getting print offers and runway offers, and I worked for every designer in Paris and Milan. And I went back to New York with all of these wonderful tear sheets in my book that Wilhelmina wanted me to get from many of the publications over there, and then my career in New York soared as well.
So you did your footwork and your homework even out of fear. You went forward and you overcame your fear. And look what happened to you. That's wonderful, because fear is a big issue for a lot of people. Did you ever have any rejection that you write about in your book, or and how to overcome rejection?
I do. In my book, in one of the chapters of my book, well, my book is laid out with starts with a question at the beginning of every chapter with an answer, and then you go into the chapter, and it's very informational. Then it's Suzanne Speaks, so it's all of my tips and just a general overall of how to find an agent, if that were the chapter. Then it's questions and answers. And I compiled all these questions from people over the years where, you know, I produce fashion shows, so I do it for fundraisers for high schools, and the kids from the seniors are in the show. And always I have a mother come up to me, if not one, there are three that come up to me and say, my daughter wants to be a model. Could you help her? We don't know where to start. And they're in LA and they don't know where to start. You know, you can imagine being in Kansas and not knowing where to start, or where I was in Wisconsin. I mean, that's the whole purpose of this book, is to give models, working models as well as aspiring models, a map, you know, a guide of how to do it and how to get there, which I'm very happy to give all of my knowledge and help others. So, yes, in my book, to get back to your answer, one of the questions, so at the end of every chapter, there are several questions that would relate to each chapter. And one of the questions in my chapter, in my book, is from a parent who says, you know, what were the two biggest factors in your career that you really found difficult? And my answer to that was rejection, definitely a part of this business. And you have to have a tough skin. It's, you know, if you don't have that tough skin and you're going to let it eat at you because you didn't get the job, you're probably not going to be a success in the business. You have to look at it like, that just was not my job. And more often than not, when I thought about things that way, I would go on an audition, and the next day there was another audition, sometimes three auditions. And by the time you got to the end of the week, the one you didn't get, you'd already forgotten about anyway, because you keep just marching forward. But more often than not, with that attitude, it's really all about your attitude and confidence in yourself. You know, maybe they chose another blonde. Maybe I was a little too tall and they wanted somebody more like 5'8". I'm almost 5'11". Maybe I didn't look good in that collection because I've got very fair skin, and maybe it's better to have more color in your skin for a spring collection. So there are so many variables, and sometimes they're also hiring a guy to walk with you, and if you're too tall and the guy isn't tall enough, there are just a lot of variables. It's the same in acting. So rejection to me was, I just kept marching forward and I'm looking for the next audition and the next job. And more often than not, I got booked for the jobs because I had a good attitude. And people like to work with people who have good attitudes and who are fun to work with. You have to have the goods to, you know, you have to be able to walk the runway, and you can't have let yourself go and get fat. You know, you have to stay a certain size. There are things that have to be right. But, you know, sometimes when it comes down to, should I hire her? Should I hire her? Well, she was much more pleasant and fun than the other one. So, you know, rejection is one of the things. The second thing that I would say that's difficult about this business of modeling is that you don't work every day. So when you do work, you make a lot of money. In Los Angeles, if you're going to do a day of print, it's $3,000, sometimes more, depending. If it's a big campaign, it can be more. In New York, the models get $400 an hour with a two-hour minimum, so they're guaranteed $800 before they ever leave their apartment to go to work, even if they only work a half hour. So The money in the national markets is much more money than it is in the regional markets. And a regional market would be Los Angeles, Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, and the national market in the United States is New York City. So if you want to be a top model, that's where you want to be, and you want to throw your hat in the ring and see how you do. I did very well. I spent almost 14 years in New York before I got involved. You know, I studied acting in New York and got involved and did Tootsie, and then I worked with Woody Allen and Zelig, and I did a couple soap operas, and then I decided to come out to Los Angeles for pilot season and throw my hat in the ring there and see how I would do there. So Modeling career in LA took off immediately because most of the buyers had seen me on the runways in New York. And so I was like a big fish in a smaller sea in a regional market for modeling. The acting, you know, I'm still working at it. You never stop working at acting because you go from one age category to another. So you're always working on new and different roles. And the competition is very steep.
So would you say that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to just finish waiting around and waiting for the next job, you know, because there is downtime and modeling is also seasonal. So the downtime to you, unless you're very disciplined, you know, if you're disciplined to go to the gym, to take dance classes, to take other classes, commercial classes, that's what you should be doing with your time in between. But some models, they kind of, oh, I've got downtime. Oh, I haven't worked in a month. And that can happen because over the summer, there isn't much work in the United States for modeling. Most of the girls travel to Europe, which is what I did. I traveled a lot to keep myself busy and always working, and traveling is part of a model's job.
So would you say that wearing a lot of hats began with modeling, and for the successful ones, that like you are also a successful actress and producer and host and writing. So you continued to expand your career. Would you say that the modeling was the catalyst for you to go into the entertainment industry, and that that's a good a good way for other people to continue on with their careers in this, if they start out with modeling?
Absolutely. I mean, my dream was to be a model. I did not have a dream of being an actress. My dream was to be a model. I discovered acting along the way because of my modeling career, because I did commercials. Then I had a little background featured part that somebody wanted me for in a movie. And then I said, I better study acting. And then I fell in love with the whole process. So I discovered other things along the way because of modeling, but modeling was my dream and my main focus. In today's world, you have to really do it all. Modeling, commercials. If you are talented as an actress, I say to all models, study, because modeling is a short-lived career, especially in the national market, like in New York. By the time you are getting into your late 20s, there are all these young girls pushing up, and their skin is great, and you know they have a fast metabolism. It's easy to keep themselves thin, and you know, when you get 30, 35, things start to change. Also, you know, as a woman, things start to change. You might want to get married and have a child and raise children. A lot of things change. So it is a short-lived career. However, if you move to a regional market like I did, there's a lot of lifestyle modeling. So you can work way into your 50s living in Los Angeles or in Chicago. Different type of market. They're marketing to a different demographic than you are in New York. So my career continued, you know, for a very, very long time. And I kept reinventing myself. I kept challenging myself. I mean, everything kind of happened by accident. Somebody asked me if I would do a fashion show and help them with it for a community-minded thing for kids that lived in the more in a ghetto area. And I here in LA, and I said, sure, I would love to do that. And then I brought all my model friends, so we kind of made it kids as well as professional models. And I chose the music, I put it together, it was very successful. I did it for free, you know, it was just giving back to my community. The next thing I know out of that, you know, there were dentists and doctors and all these different people who actually put money towards community activity, and the next thing I know, somebody offered me a job to produce a show. I didn't think about producing fashion shows. I was still modeling. So that kind of came to me by doing something for free. So, in fact, some of the better things that have happened to me in my career have been because I've done things for free.
Isn't that amazing? And that's, you know, that random act of kindness, it always comes back some way in some form, and to help ourselves, even though we weren't looking for it at the time. I believe in that. And so when you mentor young people, and of course in your book, Modeling Success, do you talk about how you actually do the workshops? But in your book, do you give an idea of who the potential, who a potential run model would actually be, or can you spot someone in your workshop who you believe is a runway model potential?
Definitely, when mothers come to me about their daughters, like I said, when I produced a fashion show for several high schools in Los Angeles, private high schools, and I'm very honest. You know, I don't like to take people on and think that, have them think that, you know, they're only 5'4", but they could model. 5'3", 5'2", 5'3", they can do petite modeling, and I've worked with a lot of petite models, but when you get to be 5'4", 5'5", you're too tall to be a petite model, and you're not tall enough to be a print model or a runway model. Print models can be anywhere from 5'8", 5'9", sometimes 5'7", because the clothes are right off the rack. They're made for the general public. When you do fashion shows for Nordstrom or Macy's, it's made for the general public. But if you're going to work with a couture designer, they want the runway girls as well as their print girls to be no less than 5'9", and they really like 5'10". They like them tall. And in recent years, many of the girls are 6 feet that are in the show. But couture designers make the clothes for that particular model. They're similar to Givenchy, who chooses the models, and then they make the clothes that are in the collection for the show just for that model. So, yes, I know what it takes to be a print model. To be a print model, there are different qualifications than being a runway model. For instance, a runway model, like I said, the height is taller. Print models are a little bit shorter just because it is a lot of ready-to-wear. Like I said, you know, it's a size 2, 4, 6, 8 that will fit the general public. And those girls, the print girls, also have to have a certain bone structure that the camera likes. So, I always thought it was very interesting, and I'm kind of laughing at myself because I always thought it was very interesting when photographers and people would say to me, "Oh, you're so photogenic." And I thought, "Oh, that's so great." But then what I realized is that somebody explained it to me, and I have this in my book. Being photogenic, usually when somebody says you're very photogenic, it doesn't really mean that you're beautiful. The camera likes your angles, and the light bounces off of your bone structure, like your high cheekbones and you know, your jawline and different things like that. But that doesn't really mean, it means that you look better in pictures than you do in real life if you're photogenic.
I have a family member like that, and she's nice looking, but she's not beautiful by her pictures. She looks like a runway model in her pictures. I'm just like, it doesn't look like the same person, you know. It's amazing,
yeah,
you know, and it's exactly what you're saying, you know. It's the camera has to love you, and you have to love the camera back. And so I know you have a very busy schedule, and you have a meeting coming up, and Suzanne von Schock and your book, Modeling Success, is so motivational, and for any age, I would say, because today the ages are older. So people who are in the industry can actually learn from your book as well on expanding their careers and not giving up. And I love that. I love motivation. And so now's your time to shine, Suzanne von Schock, and you can tell our audience any messages you have any contact information, where they can buy your fabulous book, Modeling Success, and any events or workshops you have.
Okay, so to contact me for workshops, you may direct message me through my Instagram, which is sshack07. So it's sshack07. I do have a website, which anybody would have fun going to, because you can see all of the fashion shows that I have produced. I've even produced and built runways over water at the Hollywood Roosevelt. So it's fun to see and look also at the models and the clothing. You can visit my website at www.suzanne.com/von. Capital, it's V, like in Victor, onschaack.com. My book is now available on Amazon. Modeling Success, have the question, I have the answer, by me, Suzanne Von Schock. The bestseller day is coming up on February 23rd, which is next week on Tuesday, between 7 a.m. and 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. If you purchase a book during that time, it will help me reach number one on the bestsellers list. As of yesterday, I was number two. So I am really trying to get toward number one. And so that day is a special day. You can either buy it now if it's more convenient, or you could buy it on February 23rd, only between those times, 7 a.m. and 12 noon. And what a pleasure it has been to be with you today. And thank you so much for having me on your show, Rose.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was a delight, and I'm so happy you're doing what you're doing, and keep up the good work and helping the community as well and helping young people. That's fabulous. Thank you so much, Suzanne Von Schock, and I hope I know your book, Modeling Success, will reach number one. So God bless you, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. And Suzanne Von Schock has left the building, and don't forget, Modeling Success. You have the questions, and Suzanne has the answers. And it's great, actually, to read no matter what if you are looking into any aspect of the entertainment industry or the modeling industry for yourself or your children, because you're never too old. Do what you do. And as Suzanne, states, follow your dreams. And as you follow them, they will push you beyond your expectations. And she says, my best to you in all that you choose to do. And you should never stop dreaming. It doesn't matter if you are healthy and you've kept yourself in good condition and you keep your mind a sound mind and you have dreams. You're never too old to achieve your dreams. Just keep on trucking. And we'll be back in just a moment. So stay with us on Columbo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. You will enjoy a home-cooked meal, and you will enjoy some home-baked pie. And I mean, it is flies out the door. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of politics and the issues of the day. And today's issues are important to our pocketbooks and to our electric bills, our gas bills, and our gas pumping at the gas stations. As you can see, the prices increasing and recently, and they keep increasing, as well as electricity and gas in our homes. And we have a problem in America. Epoch Times has published U.S. News Premium by Bowen Zio, and it's dated February 16th, 2021. You know, electricity and gas and oil affect every American, and every person around the world. And everyone looks up to America. And we need to be independent, and we need to keep our American energy industries open. We need to keep our alliance with Canada and the Keystone Pipeline going. We need to be independent of China and Saudi and Iran and all these other foreign nations, such as Russia. And this article says, Murdo, South Dakota. For more than a decade, Jeff Berkland had been waiting in the hope that the Keystone XL, KXL, pipeline would finally materialize and bring with it a much-needed boost to his rural community. His dreams were dashed overnight. We are also talking about millions of jobs when it comes to energy. Millions of jobs. We already have high unemployment rates because of the lockdowns in California and across the nation. We are free Americans. We are the government. We elect these people in public office to do the will of the majority of Americans and to uphold the United States Constitution, which calls for sovereignty. It establishes sovereignty. It establishes freedom, liberty, rights. It establishes fairness, justice, common sense, and requires people with integrity, with love of country, with loyalty. It requires the republic to operate by the rule of law. It requires all laws to be in accordance with the United States Constitution for the safety and security and health of all legal Americans. It requires that the elected public servants serve the people, not themselves. It requires that they work together for the betterment of the United States of America, for the security of America, and for the American people, so that we will be safe and our children will be safe and live in safe neighborhoods, and that they will be able to go to school, they will be able to go to college at a reasonable amount of money, and not be burdened with $100,000 or $200,000 in debt when they leave college. It requires that the government provide jobs by helping small businesses thrive, because it is 85% of small businesses who provide the jobs for the American people. And when the American system is working and jobs are thriving and businesses are thriving, we can help the rest of the world, which we've always done. But we cannot be burdened with unidentified people coming through in and out of our borders and put on welfare rolls by the millions who don't have jobs, who don't have any money, who are unidentified and could be traffickers and felons in our country, living in our country, in our neighborhoods. And then end up on welfare while we're in a pandemic, locked in our homes and locked out of our businesses, locked out of our jobs with high unemployment rates while we're watching the energy companies being destroyed and jobs destroyed every single day. Unions say they now regret their vote because they are also losing their jobs and their industry. So Americans need to figure out if they're going to get off the couch and they're going to call all their reps. I don't care about party, Democrat, Republican. That's not important any longer. We are losing our country. We are becoming a banana republic. We are losing jobs by the millions. We're losing our energy companies. Our electricity, as I said, our gas, our oil, and food is skyrocketing. We are being rationed in many areas of food. Like I went to a store just yesterday, and they told me I could only buy 2 paper products. I could only buy 1 pack of toilet paper. I could only buy 1 pack of paper towels. This happened at the beginning, 2 years ago, of this pandemic, when we were told we could only buy 1 loaf of bread. There was no Lysol. There was no alcohol, rubbing alcohol, on the shelves. How did that happen in the superpower of a world over a flu? Yes, there's a flu that China unleashed, but does that mean that we are now supposed to help China become the superpower in the world, which is their goal, while we weaken the American economy and we burden taxpayers with trillions of dollars in taxation by printing more money, creating a bubble that will burst, while we are buying masks and goggles and gloves and prescriptions and the majority of products made in China, not in America, that used to be manufactured in the USA, and they were developed and created in the USA, and now everything is shipped over to China. And we are going to be dependent on China for everything? Think about what is happening in our country and your children and your grandchildren and the future of this nation. We are being denied freedom, liberty, and rights. We are innocent people. An illness should never be weaponized. An illness should never be a reason to lock people into their homes and forced to wear these double masks now. Next, there'll be triple masks. And do you know why? Because China is thriving. They have a thriving business of making masks in China, and they have 300 new companies just making masks, and they still can't meet the amount of masks that are being ordered in America, from America and the rest of the world. If masks stopped the virus, then China should be virus-free because they've worn masks forever. And the viruses are from third world nations. So why do we have open borders with no health care checks for the past 12 years? And the SARS and the MERS came from the Middle East and China, because they have been plagued with SARS and MERS for decades. And they wear masks, and yet the masks didn't stop the virus. And yet they have more people. They didn't depopulate. They have more people. They have wall-to-wall people. They have billions and billions of people. The world population of deaths has not changed one way or the other very much, with or without COVID. Open up the country. Let people go back to work. People need to go back to work. Every job is essential. every business is essential. It's essential to sustain your lifestyle, and it is the law that you can sustain your lifestyle. It's the law in every state, constitutionally, morally. It's the law of civil rights and human rights that every individual in America has a right to work, to sustain their lifestyle, and to provide for themselves and their families, shelter, food, medicine, travel, and education. We are turning into a banana republic, into a third world nation, and being sent welfare checks whenever they feel like it. We're living on about $5 a day if we were just to depend on our taxes being returned to the American people whenever by these multimillionaires. They're all multimillionaires in government. Somehow the key persons all became multimillionaires and billionaires, and yet we're forced to pay them an increase in wages during a pandemic because they granted themselves an increase in wages, benefits, they took vacations, they socialize without masks at fine restaurants, and they go boating, and they go to birthday parties. They don't wear masks off cameras, and they socialize, and people like Governor Newsom doesn't even close his business, but he forced people in the beach areas to close down their businesses, and now Venice Beach is a sanctuary city that was a thriving city of tourism and residents who enjoyed that prime beach area that was filled with laughter and exercise and walking and bikes and shops and restaurants. The most healthy thing people have ever done is to hug, kiss, socialize, laugh. Laughter is great for the mind, body, and soul. Breathe in fresh oxygen through their nose and mouth to keep their brain and their lungs and their body and their immune system strong. To eat healthy foods with vitamins like berries, any sorts of berries, nuts, vegetables, fruits without pesticides. To drink water that has no fluoride and chemicals in it. And that is why people are living longer, because they ate from the farms. They ate foods grown on the farms without pesticides. They drank water from the hose and the faucet without fluoride and chemicals in it. And that's why they're living longer and into their 90s and pretty healthy. And so now we have our rights taken away from us, our liberties taken away from us, our sovereignties being taken away from us. Our Constitution is being trampled on. It's being denied because we, the people, are allowing it. So the American people need to wake up, because we're losing our energy companies. We'll be dependent on communist and Muslim Brotherhood nations, who have no freedom, and especially women who have no freedom. We need to think about these things. Birkeland is the CEO of West Central Electric Cooperative, which is located in Murdo, a small city in South Dakota with a population of less than 1,000. TransCanada, now known as TC Energy, the firm that commissioned the KXL pipeline, first approached his company back in 2008. That was during the housing crisis. We still haven't all recovered from the housing crisis either. In 2011, he signed a contract with TC Energy to build a transmission line and two substations that would serve power along the KXL route. West Central Electric was meant to start producing power for pump stations along the XL route as early as November 2011 before the pipeline was put on hold. That was under Obama's and Biden's regime. To me, that Biden and Obama are still carrying on these same agendas to stop the Keystone Pipeline, which President Trump approved of, that would not only make America energy free, but it, from Saudi Arabia and other foreign nations like China, but it also creates millions of jobs and keeps our costs down in America for gas and oil and electricity. In March 2019, then-President Donald Trump granted TC Energy a presidential permit to construct and operate the XL pipeline. This was an excellent move for America. I'm not talking politics here. I'm not talking Democrats, Republicans. I'm talking Americans and their survival and the survival of our economy and the survival of sustaining our lifestyles and being able to work and get jobs and afford to live with electricity and gas and put gas in our cars and heat, air conditioning. Biden revoked that permit in 2021, as soon as he got into office, via executive order in one of his first moves as president. Why would he do that? It's not in the best interest, as the Constitution establishes. It is everyone who swears an oath in public office must, and it's mandated and established, protect the welfare and safety and health, economy, sovereignty of this great nation. People are freezing right now in Texas and other states from an unprecedented freezing snow and ice conditions that no one can explain at this point. And they're freezing to death. In 1918, the people didn't die from the Spanish flu. They were dying from freezing to death. They were dying from poverty. 60% of the American people were impoverished. They were below poverty level. They didn't have money for food. They lived in rural areas, most of them. They didn't have heat, and they didn't have a lot of ventilation because many were freezing to death, or they lived in the deserts where it was super hot and they didn't have air conditioning, so they didn't have enough ventilation, and they didn't have nutritional food. They were actually dying from an increase of pneumonia and tuberculosis and lack of nutrition, lack of food, and freezing to death, or lack of clean water, or all of the above. And in the end, the health department said the masks didn't work. What worked was fresh air, ventilation, breathing in fresh air into your body, your brain, and your lungs, and exhaling carbon monoxide. So anyway, it goes on to say it basically shut a lot of what we were doing down overnight, Berkland told the Epoch Times. We're out $90 million. That's what that means to us, that when Biden revoked that permit in 2021 by executive order as one of his first moves as president to destroy the construction of the Keystone Pipeline. Electric co-ops are private companies that deliver electricity to their customers, also known as members. Rural electric cooperatives serve 56% of the nation and account for about 12% of total electricity sales in the United States, according to the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. There are multiple co-ops in the area that range in size in terms of employees and areas they cover. West Central Electric has more than 3,671 members and covers more than 7,000 square miles. And Berkland said that the cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline hits small rural communities like Murdo especially hard. Berkland fired off a number of figures highlighting the negative economic effects of the KXL cancellation during an interview at his office. If they had been able to start work on the project in 2012 during Obama's regime and Biden's regime, school districts in the area would have received $1.7 million in tax revenue, he said. South Dakota will also miss out on $4 million in state sales tax, and if the entire pipeline was up and running, it was expected to generate more than $100 million in property tax revenue along the route. The pipeline would also contribute $3.4 billion to the GDP of the United States on an annual basis. To me, this appears to be dereliction of duty and anti-American, anti-constitutional, anti-civil rights, and anti-human rights. That's what this appears to me to be. His company now has $14 million worth of material sitting idly at the warehouse because of Biden's cancellation. Essentially, this tells me our rates are going up, he said. We're sparsely populated, and this load represented growth and opportunity for our members and our communities. That's what's tough. If you sit at my desk, you're trying to figure out what's best for your members and your communities. The cries of help from rural communities are starting to be heard. 14 Republican attorney generals are urging Biden to reconsider his decision to cancel a permit for the construction of the Keystone Pipeline to prevent severe economic harm to the United States of America. They are also threatening to take legal action, which, in my opinion, that's exactly what they need to do. Kit Talek, a staff engineer at West Central, said he understands there are people and arguments on both sides of the pipeline deal, but he said the project would have been a great boost to rural South Dakota and would help keep things running. Jobs going. We have been working on this project on and off through the start and stop and delays for about 12 to 13 years now, which would be the Obama-Biden years. Talek told the Epoch Times, we put a lot of time into it, so it was a little disappointing to see something like that pulled away with a swipe of Biden's pen and 10 minutes after Biden was sworn in. I would like to see it revived. It would help the local communities a lot, he added. Again, is what Washington wants to do. They don't care about Americans out. They don't care about us out there, out here too much. Biden's executive order states that the KXL pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, deserves the U.S. national interest, arguing that the country is facing a climate crisis. The Biden administration has made combining climate change a key part of its agenda and has often talked about creating a renewable energy jobs and reducing emissions. Well, guess what? They haven't created any energy jobs. They have just destroyed energy jobs, and they say it could be up to the millions. They have not reduced emissions. They've skyrocketed electricity and gas. TC Energy has stated that its intention to make the pipeline project emissions neutral. The company announced in January 17th statement before Biden signed the executive order that it would achieve net zero emissions across the project operations when the pipeline is in service in 2023. TC also committed to operations being fully powered by renewable energy sources no later than 2030. Well, 2030 is when the New World Order seeks to have the population reduced by 50% on the planet, which is very interesting that everything seems to lead to 2030, and that is the United Nations and the New World Order members who are billionaires who believe there are too many people living on the planet. So by skyrocketing electricity, skyrocketing gas, and skyrocketing gasoline, and attempting to take gas cars away from the people and force them onto public transportation and into electric cars is a pipe dream unless they reduce the population. And they can do that by skyrocketing electricity, skyrocketing gasoline, skyrocketing gas that would cause people to freeze to death or to die from overheat depending on where they live in the nation or around the world. But we're talking about America right now because it appears that they are attempting with China and other countries to take down the USA and the American people, because we all know that China is a threat to America because they have billions of people and they need more resources, they need more land, they need clean water, they need clean air, because they're dying of pollution and they're dying of too much lead in the food and products that we're buying from them, and especially in the rice. And then they unleashed a biochemical weapon, which is a flu, but it isn't as killing as many people as they cause this fear-mongering to be. But they're still making masks off the testing kits, which the World Bank and the Illinois Governor Pritzker and others have invested in back in 2008 before COVID ever hit. They were also making designer masks in 2018 before COVID ever hit. So think about all of this. I hope it gave you some food for thought and why you need to call your representatives and tell them to demand and urge President Biden to overturn his executive order and to reinstate President Trump's executive order to support the Canada and America's Keystone Pipeline going forward, that will create not only independent energy for America, but also create jobs and taxation to keep America going. So on that note, God bless you. God bless America. And pray for our nation and pray for our country to come together in Congress. Forget Democrats, forget Republicans. Become adults. Become rational. Become people of sound mind, of ethics, and loyal Americans who stop putting themselves first and their personal opinions first about anyone in government, and start thinking about why they were elected. To uphold, defend, protect, preserve the United States Constitution, the sovereignty of this land, legal entry, legal vetting, legal citizenship, legal migration, and to support and provide human rights of all Americans who have essential businesses and essential jobs. There is no business and no job that is not essential. As free people who know that they must stay home if they're sick, know they can go to an emergency if they're very sick, know they can go to their own doctors, and know that they can go to a clinic in the USA if they're sick. They don't need the government to be their mommy and daddy, tell them when they can come home and when they must stay in. Like in California, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., does the COVID only come out at night? Think about it. God bless you, and God bless America.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.